We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the Eagles Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is the EWU Football Coaches Show, powered by G Automotive. Also brought to you by Numerica Credit Union, Life Moves, Live Well, MultiCare Health System, Northern Quest Resort and Casino, the place where Eagles fans love to stay and play, and by Pepsi, the official soft drink of Eastern Athletics. Now, here are your hosts, Larry Weir and Paul Sorensen.
Welcome. We are back here at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino for the Eagle Football Coaches Show. Coach Best has wrapped up his film session. We are getting set for the radio program now. We will hear from sophomores Andrew Boston, Eagle wide receiver who scored a touchdown in the ball game on Saturday, as well as Mitchell Johnson, a returning All Big Sky Conference selection at defensive end. So they will be our players' guests today. This is the first of two coaches' shows here tonight on 700 ESPN and 105.3 FM. We'll talk Eagle basketball coming up after this. We will hear from Eagle head coach Shante Leggins. On the men's side, women's head coach Wendy Schuler, men's players Kim Aiken Jr. and Jacob Davison, and women's player Bella Cravens, as we're getting set for the start of basketball season, which is a week from tomorrow for both the Eagle men and women. The Eagle men will open their season against Portland Bible College at Reese Court and Cheney a week from tomorrow, and the women will open their season at Stanford a week from tomorrow. Eagle head coach Aaron Best is here. Paul Sorensen here as well. We'll get to our player guests a little bit later on. Coach, thanks for joining us here this evening. Tough game, not the game that you thought you were going to get on Saturday against Missoula, not the outcome you wanted to get anyway in the ball game against Montana on Saturday. They went with their backup quarterback. Were you did the change in quarterbacks, did that and what they did with the three tight end personnel for much of the game, was that a surprise?
I wouldn't say it was a surprise. I didn't think they'd get away from too much of what they had done in the previous, you know, seven games. I was probably more surprised that they stuck with it a little bit longer than they had we thought they would. You know, the first drive, if I remember, I was about 7.5, 8 minutes long. And so to be able to get 6 and 7 first downs and, you know, getting 3 and 4 a time seems bad outside of the moment. But inside the moment, you feel good when you put them in 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7. But they stuck with it, and they got out of it in that third quarter and kind of sped us up a little bit and kept us – kept us, you know, kind of from doing a few things because they were changing in and out of the 10-11 personnel into the 13. And so, but for the most part, we held up. We just, you know, wish we could have taken back and, you know, should have, could have, would have three or four plays in those situations because with it all being said, I thought we played a really, really solid game ourselves, but when you're on the road against a very good opponent, well-coached opponent, no matter who they have at quarterback, you've got to play better than we did. And unfortunately, we didn't do that. The guys play with a lot of guts, as they always do, play till the final snap. And yeah, I love watching this team play. I love watching this team get excited. I love watching these guys make plays and enjoy each other's company, regardless of the score, regardless of the quarter, regardless of home or away. Those are things that you cherish more than anything.
First half, things were going well. You had a 14-10 lead at the intermission. But in the second half, especially in the third quarter offensively, you really struggled. Drop passes was a big chunk of that.
Yeah, just like you said, the execution piece. And if it was not one, we were kind of, you know, you can't really compare things because I think it's when you have apples and oranges, they're both fruits, but they're different type of fruits. Some of those things that we even see as coaches when we get the video, you know, wide and tight, you look back and last year you might have had one guy do it right and it ends up being a 75-yard run and catch and it's a touchdown. This year, it's just different. It's a different year. We may have one guy do it wrong or not exactly right and it might be a 3-yard loss. And so there was a few of those on Saturday. Yes, when you're you know, coached to do things, we expect you to do things, but at the same time, there's a human element to it. Those guys aren't deciding to make mistakes or deciding to drop balls or deciding not to block defensive tackles or not hit holes. There's a feel element to it as well, but our execution was good, but just wasn't good enough at times, especially in that third quarter.
And it's been hard this year for you guys to put together a full game from time to time. It's been you've had maybe the Northern Colorado game is probably the game that you guys were able to play more along the lines of 60 minutes. And it's been something different, it seems like, about every game, something different.
Yeah, it has, and I think North Dakota was a little bit that way too. It's a lot easier. People in sports know this better than most. It's a lot easier to play from behind than it is in front, especially when you've got a wide margin. So, nothing to lose mentality. You know, when you're down 0-40 at a half, it's harder to truly lock in and be able to sub guys in and out to continue that cohesiveness that you saw. Yes, we'd love to mimic one half to the other. But yeah, you're right. I mean, all of a sudden we're great in special teams, flip the field, and then all of a sudden we may give up, you know, some yardage on defense, and then they flip the field back, or maybe we get a 3 or 4 and out on offense, and it just hasn't meshed as well as we had anticipated, would have liked. And you know, part of that is our tempo at times, part of that is field position at times, part of that is just sheer bad luck at times. But again, we got to make our own breaks and create our own opportunities. And the faster we play, the more plays we make, the more confidence there is. So we've got to continue to breed that confidence as the game goes on, whether it's the first, third, fourth, or second quarter, as far as that's concerned.
Injuries have always been a factor for teams. And this year, it seems like there's been injuries in key situations. But Tamarick Pierce comes back, ends up leading the team in rushing, has a touchdown. Looks like he gets better and better, you know, the more touches he got. It's great to see Ojo back out there on defense. He's such a presence on the defensive side at linebacker because he's a playmaker. And then Dean Seiss, who we haven't seen since really the last half of you know, the spring scrimmage, who had a pretty serious injury. He brought some serious energy as well on special teams, and you can tell that he's an athlete that ended up playing, went to Navy because of his ability. Having guys like that back and trying to fit those pieces in the puzzle, you know, with all the injuries and the things you have to deal with, is that difficult for a staff?
It's difficult. Sometimes it's even more difficult when you have guys that are maybe at 80% instead of at 0% in a weird way. Last year we had a ton of guys at 0% that knew that they weren't going to play. We knew they weren't going to play. And so here's the deck of cards that you got dealt. Well, this year it's, you know, maybe some game time decisions, maybe a guy's, you know, limited in terms of the reps he's going to get in the game. Some of those are more challenging than not having guys. It's maybe having, you know, four guys at 80% rather than two guys at 100%, even though the other two guys may be at 0%. So it's tough, and especially special teams and stuff on both sides of the ball. But yeah, you mentioned three guys that created opportunities and got back on the field. Two of them for the first time this year, and we need that energy. You know, that's what it's all about. Those teammates of theirs want to see those guys be able to perform on Saturdays, not just in camp and in segments of practice. And so we'll continue to build on some of those energetic moments, but certainly it's never easy in sports. It's part of sports, unfortunately, and we've just we've just had a rash of them throughout the course of the season, but they haven't been season ending. It's almost been week ending or 2 week ending, and so it's kind of been a mishmash at times in all three phases.
I thought you guys did a really nice job of taking Montana out of what they wanted to do with a 3-by-1, the 3 tight end set, and Marcus Knight, their running back, had a really good game. I mean, he got better as the game went on. He had 135 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. He had a big wheel route, kind of on a long, third down and long, that was kind of a backbreaker. And he seemed to get better as the game went on. And then when Montana got the lead, they went back to their big set and kind of wore down, I thought, in the second half, a defense who was playing with their back against the wall most of the second half.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't necessarily maybe back against the wall. It was more probably time of possession and plays that were on the field. When you look at the stats, and it was close to 22 to 38 in terms of time of possession minutes. And one quarter, I think we had it for just shy of 5 minutes in the quarter. Might have been the fourth quarter in the game. And so any time a team is almost 2-to-1 time of possession, it's probably not them throwing the ball, it's running the ball. So what takes you physically out of some of those situations is the run element. When guys are leaning, when they're double teaming, when they're back blocking, when they're pulling, for level 2 guys, when they're putting corners in run fit situations. And so we've got to do a better job. And that doesn't just start with defense. It starts with offense and special teams, putting ourselves in situations where they're playing from behind more, so they get out of those methodical run sets, so that we're forcing them into being a one-dimensional team, which we didn't necessarily get to do on Saturday.
Well, and then you also look at the special team situation, the 17 points, basically. And that's a tough deal. You have two true freshmen returning kickoffs in a stadium that's known for being very intimidating. You had wind issues. You had snow. A lot of stuff that comes in, and that kick was just – it was kind of a break because it seemed like it gusted. And the young man came up to try to field the ball, just went off his hands. Very tough play to have to make, under those circumstances. And then the two punts that didn't look like they were really good ones that kind of set the stage as well. That seemed to really flip the field and the momentum in that second half.
Yeah, special teams, I think we were either really good or not really good. We tackled the punt returner inside the 10 on one occasion. We flipped the field on another on a punt that kind of bounced inside the 20-25 yard line when we were sitting back at about the 20-25 of ours. But yeah, you're right. Those are kind of the backbreakers when, we put you out there and you never know when your opportunity is going to come, whether it's a surprise onside kick, whether it's a squib, whether it's a sky, whether it's a deep kick, making a decision whether you come out or not. Age shouldn't be a factor. Age, you catch balls since the time you're in the backyard with your dad, and the first thing you talk about is, hey, 30 seconds left on the clock, down 4 points, what are they going to do? Well, they may sky kick. I mean, all those things that you took from your childhood days and your high school days, we've got to apply those things, and I think we're in good position. We just weren't in good enough position to be able to make that play, and they just scored a touchdown. They recovered the kickoff, and then they went down to score another touchdown again. So without even touching the ball on offense, you end up having a 14-point swing.
Mike Kramer said something I always thought was interesting about special teams. He said, if you can trust a freshman, in one or two key plays on special teams, you can probably trust them then on defense down the road or offense down the road as well. So it's really a kind of a nice little proving ground to see if a young man can play early in his career. Some guys really blossom, a special teams player. Some guys use that to kind of launch themselves in a starting position. What's your philosophy kind of on that?
Well, I couldn't agree with more with Coach Kramer. We talk about it all the time. Is a lot of guys think if you're trusted on offense or defense, that you're certainly trusted on special teams, and I think it's quite the contrary. I think if you're trusted on a one-play basis, the chances of you being trusted in a 30 or 40 or 60 or 80 play basis be becomes more validated. And so we don't just put guys in positions to see if they can do it. We trust that they can do it. And just like offensive defense, it's not always perfect. You hate for those moments to happen, especially, you know, with a guy in his eighth game of his college career, and you feel so bad for him. Those are teaching moments. You put your arm around him. He didn't do anything on purpose. We just ended up failing to execute as well as we thought we were going to do. So those are the ones that you reach out, you just squeeze them a little harder and just know that, you know, we'll get the next one, whether it's this game or the next game, we'll get the next, be better the next time around. So I couldn't agree more with Coach Kramer and his outlook on special teams. It's more than a third of the game. It's less than a third of the plays in the game, but it means more than a third of the game, because one special teams play could change the momentum or outcome of a game, whether it's first series or last series of the game.
It's all relative, because that's a tough place to play, but it didn't seem as loud this year as it had been in the past. What did you hear on the sidelines? Probably plenty loud still.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to do it. I like to say focused, where I don't know if there's anything going on around me, just because you're so asphyxed on the game and on the situation at hand and the decisions you have to make. I can't let, you know, or try not to let those outside factors deter my focus and our focus as a team. And it's loud, but I think it becomes less loud sometimes in our minds, because it doesn't affect us as much as it maybe did 15 or 20 years ago. It might be as loud, but we're better at those loud environments, so it doesn't look like it affects us, because it doesn't as much as it maybe had, you know, in many times being in that stadium. And so maybe that, you know, contributes to our thought of it's not being as loud as it usually is.
Playoff situation at this point, you really can't concern yourself too much with this. You just have to go out and win in November. If you get four wins, that'll all take care of itself at the end of the year. Having said that, you've got some decisions to make. Chris Ojo's played four games. He's missed part of the year with an ankle injury. He could redshirt if you take him off of the out of the field at this point in time. Is something like that a possibility? Tamarick Pierce, guys like that to have a redshirt year available. Tamarick has some more games he can play. Chris doesn't. Have you had conversations about this? Is this even being considered by you folks at this point in time? Is it fair for the seniors? That's another thing probably that has to be considered.
Those are a lot of loaded questions. I'll touch on the first one first, Larry, as far as the playoffs are concerned. We control what we can do this week, and that doesn't change whether it's 8-0 or 3-5. I mean, we can only control this week. And so our focus is to protect the red, to play home in front of our home fans, and continue our production at home for the third time this year. And that's a big deal. You know, we'd love to play home 11 times every year, but our third opportunity allows us the fourth opportunity, the third league game, and allows us the opportunity to be in front of our home fans and get things more right. And at the end of the day, it's something that we continue to do day in and day out. It's not like we just show up on Saturdays and try to figure it all out then. And we got to figure out who we have, what is best for our team now, what could be best for our team in the future. And those aren't easy answers. When you're a parent, there's a lot of things that go along. My analogies always go to the parent realm. It's always maybe not the best interest right now, but it may be a long-term decision. Some may be short-term and not long-term. And so we're not always agreed upon as coaches, but we come to a final agreement what is best for the program, whether it's short-term, medium-term, or long-term. So we'll look at those things. I would say I would heavily bet on Tamarick Pierce being a redshirt guy, knowing that there's four games left and he's got three accessible games for him. So that makes more sense when you look at the number of games left as opposed to Chris Ojo. So those are things we'll talk to our training staff, because it's not just a personal matter, it's also a physical matter. And if they're not right, then we don't want to be wrong and put them in harm's way, or put them in a situation where the team suffers because we're trying to get someone out there on the field. So we're looking forward to a great week. Looks like the weather will be crisp and blue skies and the sun out. That's the way we like it, especially when, like you said, the month of November. The colder it gets, the better we think we get over the last, you know, 10 to 12 years. So we take pride in playing ball, a really good brand of football after November 1st.
Do players get a voice in this? I mean, if Tamarick says, nah, I don't want to, or somebody said, nah, I don't want to, do you listen to them?
Well, it's age-old deal, and it was before the four game. That's even a trickier question, because – one got your redshirt burned. And so that was the whole thing going into a season. If we're going to do it, let's do it right away instead of waiting midseason and saying, well, shoot, we had four games to play with, and now we decided the fifth game to let this thing roll. Players always have a voice. I think they're what we do and why we do it as coaches. And so I'd be lying to you if I didn't answer every knock on my door, whether it's, hey, coach, you know, can we get some more you know, waters in the locker room, or, hey, coach, there's not enough peanut butter at the peanut butter and jelly station, or, hey, coach, I'd like to talk to you about the possibility of this. I'm all for data, collecting as much data as we can and coming up with the best solution, not always the most agreed-upon solution, but the best solution for all involved.
Head coach Aaron Best is here. We'll have more on the Eagle Football Coaches Show. We're live at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
You may be eager to break ground on a new outdoor project, but never just start digging. Buried electric and natural gas lines can be anywhere. It's the law to call 811 at least 2 business days before you dig. Spray paint white lines showing your dig zone, and a crew will mark the utility lines. Mark accuracy zone is within 2 feet of the mark, so always hand dig to expose the line first. Call 811 before you dig. The service is free for residential customers. Avista, we just want you to be safe.
When you play Washington's Lottery, it helps fund education, stadium development, and businesses across the state. So we'd like to thank our players for their help. Thanks to the always plays her son's birthday numbers lady from Spokane, and the only scratches with his lucky coin guy from Olympia, and the I only play if the jackpot has at least 3 commas in it heavy hitter from Edmonds. A big heartfelt thank you to all our players. Visit wallottery.com/whobenefits.
Numbers rounded, must be 18 or older to purchase. Statistics and figures are from the 2018 Washington's Lottery Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
Hey, Eagle fans, we hope you're enjoying the game today. The Cheney Light Department has been a proud sponsor of the Eastern Eagles for many years. The Cheney Light Department has been your hometown expert on energy conservation and services since 1931. They offer a variety of rebates for your conservation projects and will assist you with energy savings. So when you're planning that next remodel or new building, be sure to call the Cheney Light Department at 498-9230 before you begin, so they can help you in planning for energy savings. Go Eagles!
When you need a medical imaging study, chances are there's an Inland Imaging location nearby. From North Point and Holy Family on the north side, to South Cowley and Sacred Heart Doctors Building to the south, and our Valley Center and Providence Medical Park locations in Spokane Valley, with 6 convenient imaging centers located throughout the region. No matter where you go, there we are. Inland Imaging, answers you can trust and care you can count on.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and I watch college football like it's my job.
It is your job.
I know, but sometimes I like to get out of the booth and chill. Here, have a Coors Light.
Thanks.
So, where was I?
You're on my couch. In my spot.
Oh, is this your spot? It's a nice spot. Great view.
Make Saturday mornings even more chill with a fridge full of Coors Light, the official beer of Saturday morning. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Don't freak out, but I washed your lucky shirt.
Washed it? I've won 3 Northern Quest jackpots in the last 2 months with that shirt.
Yeah, getting a little ripe.
Ripe with victory. Did you at least use the gentle cycle? Fine washables or whatever?
No, I just threw it in the machine with some underpants.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Serious about gaming? Northern Quest pays out more than 80 jackpots per day. Visit northernquest.com for details.
Eagles against the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks on Saturday, 1 o'clock game time at Roos Field in Cheney. We'll be on the air starting at noon. Get your tickets. Go online to goeagles.com. Click on the tickets link. Hope to see you Saturday as the Eagles take on Northern Arizona at Roos Field. And Northern Arizona coach coming into this ball game, they got a big win last week. They've got an outstanding quarterback, and they're one of the best passing teams around.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best, as a matter of fact, at our level. So we're gonna have to be on all fronts. We're gonna have to buckle down, and they got Mr. Logan in the backfield that can naturally spit one at any time and take it the distance. So they're kind of a two-pronged attack as far as being able to throw the ball and stretch you vertically, but also stretch you horizontally to puncture you vertically in the run game. So they've got enough experience. They've got a new ball coach, Chris Ball, that's done a really good job, a last-second win to kind of put momentum, in their pocket, in walk-up Stadium, Sky Dome last week against Portland State, and a tough one for Coach Barnum and company. And so, but yeah, Case Cookus is nothing short of great. He's done it over a long period of time. You know, being a 6-year guy, he's endured a lot over the years, not just yards, but also some ups and downs. And so let's not throw out the welcome mat too lavishly this week with you know, Mr. Cook as a company coming to town.
Well, it's interesting. They're a different team in Flagstaff than they are on the road. Like everybody in the Big Sky, it seems like holding serve at home is the way to go, and it's really tough to get a road breakthrough, hence what Eastern's had to go through. Both times that Cookus has been hurt has been against Eastern Washington. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah. And the last time we were down there in 17, you know, I shot him a text right after, and you know, it's hard to see anybody get hurt. But when you talk about a stand-up guy, when you're at the Big Sky meetings in the summer, and you get to be able to bump elbows with those guys and actually talk to guys without helmets and pads on, you're not competing against those guys, you're actually communicating with those guys, it makes those moments even more difficult when you see, you know, the pain that they go through, the rehab that they're going to endure. And so I have a ton of respect for Case. He's done it for a long time, overcome a lot of, like I said, a lot of physical ailments to get to where he is now, and that's not easy. And to do it twice against us, unfortunately, both times, it says something about him as a person and his character.
Chris Ball came from Memphis as a defensive coordinator. He's been in the Pac-12 at Arizona State and Washington State, so he's seen a lot of different things. He's really a defensive-minded coach, you know, from that standpoint, being a former defensive coordinator. What, with his team in terms of what you've seen so far this year, what is he leaning towards? Are they keeping the offense kind of wide open like they always have, and are they really, you know, ratcheting up the defense? What have you seen so far that's been interesting, kind of their statement, what they're made of?
Yeah, I think Coach Flugrad on offense has been there and kind of setting his ways the last few years, being able to utilize Case, and he'll lull you to sleep. Now they'll run the read game, they'll do some things, and all of a sudden, before you know it, they pull the ball and he's, you know, lumbering down the sideline for a 25-30 yard game because he hadn't pulled it for the first three quarters. They like to get it to their receivers. They got athletic receivers, guys that can really do damage after the ball's in their hands. And so they always seem to have skill set guys. They got a front that's more than capable of blocking in the pass in their schemes that they ask them to do to protect such a valuable commodity behind them. And then on defense, they're a cover four outfit as a base. I mean, they're going to get their safeties down in the run fits. They're going to challenge you a little bit. They'll play a little bit of press. Most of it's off. They're going to keep it in front of them and challenge you to go 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 play drives. And so the front is similar to what we saw in terms of, you know, where those techniques are going to sit. That's kind of been the trend over the last couple of years. Instead of a four-man front, it's kind of a pseudo-hybrid three-down front, four-down front, tightening up those defensive ends, heads up on the tackles to make that read game a little bit more difficult for offenses. And so we're going to have our gear on tight and put our rabbit ears up and our antennas on notice the entire game in all three phases. But I do know this, there's not as much elevation, so maybe we might be able to, you know, return a few balls in the kick return department and maybe flip the field a few different ways than we would have if we were down in Flagstaff for sure.
Since you came into the league, Jerome Sowers has been the head coach at Northern Arizona. Now, he was a defensive-minded guy. Chris Ball's a defensive-minded guy. But is it different seeing an NAU team without Sowers as the head coach?
Oh, certainly. I think he's been the head coach, or was the head coach at Northern Arizona, I think, for the last 20-plus years. I mean, and so it's different. Coach Sowers is a tremendous person. He did great things. He had Andy Thompson running his defense, and, you know, it was the age-old. They kind of went from the old, you know, flex, the bare flex, you know, man-free system to then the four-down to still playing, you know, man or zero behind it to now playing a lot less zero and man behind it, but kind of keeping everything in front of you. So defensive coach for sure. Obviously, he's well equipped and being around a ton of ball in a lot of different leagues, seeing a lot of different schemes over the years with Coach Ball, but certainly is a different look without question than Jerome's smile from across the way.
What has been the key for this program in November? Because since 2007, this program just does not lose very many games in the month of November.
Well, I think the first thing is they mean more in November. I mean, they count the same, but they mean a bit more. You're kind of jockeying for position, whether it's in the league or potentially in years past for the playoff seeding and those types of things. I think the weather turns in November as well. So when you have home games and you're playing in inclement conditions, when you have I don't know how many teams in domes, but call it a third of the teams in the Big Sky Conference that are 72 no wind. I mean, that's a favorable, one up for us in that sense. And so wind blows on Saturdays. That always helps in Cheney, but only in the fall. And you get a few of the snowflakes falling, and it's just a little bit crisper. It kind of feels like the winter's here. Fall is almost behind us. Winter's right in front of us. And so I think a few different factors, and we pride ourselves when it gets colder, we play better. And so that's just our brand of football. That's in our DNA, and we'll continue to do that starting this week.
All right, Coach, two sophomores are here. Which one goes first?
I'm going to say Andrew Bossa because he scores more than Mitch Johnson.
Okay, well, there you have it. It's easier for him, too. I don't know whether you knew that, but it's easier for an offensive player to score a touchdown than a defensive player.
Depends on who you talk to.
All right. Coach Best, thanks for the time. Good luck on Saturday against NAU.
Appreciate it. Thanks, fellas.
All right, we'll have Andrew Boston next here on the Eagle Football Coaches Show. We're live at M&D, Northern Quest Resort and Casino on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We are motivated. We are dedicated. We are stepping up. We have passion flowing through our veins. We are vital. Inland Northwest Blood Center has joined forces with 127 donation centers across the nation to form Vitalant. By joining forces, we can help more people realize their life-saving potential and make every drop of blood count more. Learn why your donation is so vital at Vitalant.org.
What's it mean to be local? What's the value to you? I'm Gus Johnson. I'd like to share my thoughts on being local. Let's start with America's best brand, Ford. Ford was one of the first great American-made success stories. And today, Ford has never been stronger, producing more vehicles to compete, not just locally, but globally. Accountability. When your name is on the door, you know you need to stand behind your product every day. Community. We're invested in the community, just like you've invested in us. We live here, work here, and reinvest to help veterans, homeless, kids, and schools. We are one of the few truly locally owned and operated dealerships selling America's best vehicle wine, Ford. When it comes to American made, Ford is superior. When it comes to community, we're invested. When it comes to accountability, I put my name on it. So when you have a choice to buy a new or used vehicle, choose Gus Johnson Ford, the Ford expert on Auto Row.
Credit card debt is the most expensive debt.
How did Numerica help you pay off your credit card so fast?
It's actually pretty simple. I consolidated all my credit cards under one low interest rate and then put an additional 10% of my income each month toward paying the debt off. That's it.
At Numerica, we think it's time we had the money talk. Visit NumericaCU.com.
Got my nachos, got my big TV, and my favorite chair. It's game time. But you know, the only thing that would make it a little better is if I could listen to my local broadcasters while watching the game.
Hello. You must have wished for your game to be synced with TV and radio.
I sure did.
Do you have a DVR?
You bet.
Do you have a streaming device?
Yeah.
Blammo. Your game is now synced. It's that easy.
Oh, boy.
To see if you can get synced, head to SyncMyGame.com from Learfield IMG College.
SyncMyGame.com?
SyncMyGame.com.
Coming up after this, we will have the Eagle Basketball Coaches Show. It's our first Basketball Coaches Show of the year. Head coach Shantae Leggins of the Eagle Men, women's head coach Wendy Schuler, Men's players Kim Aiken Jr. and Jacob Davison. Women's player Bella Cravens. They will all join us on the Eagle Women's Basketball Coaches Show. If you're here in the theater with us, it won't be here. It's already done, but you'll be able to listen to it on your radio as you're going home. If you're listening on your radio now on the app or online, it'll be coming up right after we're done here at 7 o'clock. The men will start their season a week from tomorrow at home against Portland Bible College at 6 o'clock. The women start their season a week from tomorrow at Stanford. Sophomore wide receiver Andrew Boston joins us now. I saw... Well, obviously in the touchdown that you scored, but then also on another play that you had in the first half, you utilized the Cooper Kupp forearm. did you learn that from Cooper during your redshirt year at Eastern? And how to properly forearm somebody and knock them back like 10 yards?
I think definitely just watching Coop play, something it might have rubbed off a little bit on me, I guess. It's kind of like a habitual type of thing, you know. It's like a second nature just do a little stiff arm, but definitely seeing Coop doing it, especially the game versus Oregon, and just having that mindset when I get the ball that, you know, I want to do stuff like that.
This was your first opportunity to play at Washington Grizzly Stadium. What'd you think?
It was a fun experience. I really liked the atmosphere of the game. I think you mentioned earlier it wasn't as loud as you had previously the years it had been, but other than that, it was a really fun experience. I could feel the tension of the rivalry, you know.
Frustrating, though, to go in and lose that halftime lead. What was your mood after the game? Obviously, I'm sure disappointment.
Yeah, of course. It's always disappointing to lose. And then, you know, with all that, with the rivalry and all that stuff, kind of burns a little bit more. But, you know, we've got some stuff we got to get taken care of, but that one definitely hurt.
Andrew, 5 catches, 86 yards, that beautiful 36-yard touchdown. When you saw you guys ran a quad set, 4 receivers to the wide side of the field, and then you see the little corner over there, and man, do you get a little smile on your face thinking, oh, yay, I'm going to run a slant and torch this goofball? And that had to feel pretty good, especially when the ball came your way, correct?
Exactly. I mean, lining up, you kind of see it all play out a little bit back. It's beginning to move up towards the line of scrimmage. You kind of get a feeling of who's going, who's staying, and I just felt like everybody was going. So, you know, run a good route, try to get the ball, eat through it, do a great ball, and, you know, just do what we got to do after.
With Eric Berrier, he can present some problems, and he really hasn't run a lot this year. He's kind of stayed in the pocket, mm-hmm. but then he can break defenses down by getting outside and buying time. As a receiver, do you guys, you know, you kind of look at that and you say, okay, now it's scramble drill. I got to go into that scramble mode, try to find open spots, or are you going to just take off and go to the end zone? What do you, I mean, is there a preference for you? You could do anything? What would that be?
I mean, it's really just play by play. You got to make almost the right decision, you know. You can't really predetermine it, but Eric's ability to extend the play definitely. I mean, sometimes there's plays that are made that were not planned at all, you know, with his ability. But for sure, those decisions are kind of made on the fly.
When you came in as a freshman to where you are now, your ability to read on the fly in terms of seeing the defenses develop in front of you, when you're running routes, does that help you, you know, try to get into the best possible position, you know, to give Eric a good target?
Oh, definitely, for sure. I mean, I feel like an underlooked skill set, I guess, is that ability to read a defense on the go. And just over time, you know, getting more reps doing it, it definitely, I can feel spots in the zones where, you know, they're weaker, I guess you can say. And each type of play sort of has its own weak spots. You kind of get a feel as you keep going.
What's been the reason? This year you guys have been undefeated at home, and it's been tough on the road. Now, you've played some really good teams on the road as well, and it just seems like the Eagles haven't been able to put together that four-quarter game outside of, you know, the red.
Yeah, I don't, just got to find that consistency. I don't know why it is, but currently it feels like our offense and defense, one play is good, one isn't playing as well, and we've got to find a way to feed off each other and really, you know, looking for the word, I guess play well.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, play well together, and as soon as we can do that, I think we'll be just fine.
Well, you have injuries. You know, Dresant Dorton, unfortunately, was injured and probably done. You know, you've had to kind of step up and do a lot of different things. That cohesiveness, you know, of your receiving core and your offense together, it's tough when you're moving people in and out all the time to kind of get that. Do you kind of see that from your perspective?
I mean, part of it too is I feel like our room is just full of a lot of guys that want to make a play, you know. So when someone has to step up and they just, you know, we prepare all week, and a lot of guys in that room feel like maybe they deserve more and whatnot. So it kind of gives a new guy an opportunity, and it's definitely unfortunate when guys do go down. But there's a full, it's kind of expected of the next man to step up and make a play, you know.
This is just your second November with games, Andrew, but this is a program, as we talked with Coach Best, Eastern just doesn't lose very often in November. So obviously you guys want to send the seniors out as best as you can, and winning four games would keep you in the conversation for the playoffs, but you want to send the seniors out. Is that the motivation right now for this team going forward?
Definitely. I think going forward, you know, we just gonna go put the rest like on the line, I guess you could say. You know, just go put it all out there, play to win, and I don't think anybody on this team is gonna ever play to lose. So we're gonna step on the field, give it our all, and see what the outcome is.
What do you like to do off the field, away from football? What's your hobbies?
I play a little bit of video games, but mainly I do spend my off hours, I guess you could say, studying up film or, you know, an extra workout, things like that.
Coach Best said you might study film more than you study your books, and you're a good student. So is that a fair statement?
I'd say, sadly. I guess it's kind of a good, bad. I guess it depends on who you're talking to. But, yeah, I definitely watch a lot of film.
Is that something else that came from Cup, or were you doing that before you got to Eastern?
It's kind of I took a different look on watching the film, I guess. When I was in high school, I wanted to watch everything. Like anything I would do that was filmed, I would watch it. But then I'd heard about Cooper Kupp and like the way that he would watch film and how, you know, you could use that to basically get an edge over your opponents, as well as, you know, make yourself better watching yourself.
You missed a game early this season due to injury. Has this been a little bit of a struggle physically for you this year, or have you rebounded from that problem earlier in the season?
It was a little bit, towards the beginning of the season, I was having some troubles, but basically now I'm feeling pretty good, and we'll handle the rest of it after the season.
What are you majoring in? What do you want to do with life after football?
Currently, I'm set up to major in something in business. I haven't been able to hone in on exactly what that is yet, but I know after football and after, you know, potential aspirations of going to the NFL and things like that, regardless, I want to find a way to stick around the game, and whether that's coaching, you know, Coach Best coaching an actual college team, or being an assistant coach, or just training kids and getting them to the next level or something like that. That's really what I want to do. You know, coming up, I was always told, you know, once you're done with this game, you give back to the game. So that's kind of the mindset I got looking forward.
Did you have somebody as you were going through high school that helped you out as a trainer that was maybe separate from your coaching staff at school?
Oh, I had plenty of guys. I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, as the game has changed, the 7-on-7, things like that, you got guys that you might not have ever met them. You know, you might not have been trained by them. I got guys all across, like, Washington at some point in my career that had helped me get to where I am.
Andrew, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in. Best of luck for you the rest of the way.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Boston here with us. When we come back, we'll hear from Mitchell Johnson. He's next on the Eagle Football Coaches Show. We're live at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino here on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Yolk's Fresh Market is a family business.
It means I have a voice in the future of the company.
I was hired at the age of 60, and to me, that's phenomenal.
I was part of a trading company for 10 years, and I've been with Yolk's now as an employee owner, and it's absolutely been a great experience.
It's an awesome company to be with.
Since we became employee-owned in 1990, that family continues to grow.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, Eagle fans, we hope you're enjoying the game today. The Cheney Light Department has been a proud sponsor of the Eastern Eagles for many years. The Cheney Light Department has been your hometown expert on energy conservation and services since 1931. They offer a variety of rebates for your conservation projects and will assist you with energy savings. So when you're planning that next remodel or new building, be sure to call the Cheney Light Department at 498-9230 before you begin, so they can help you in planning for energy savings. Go Eagles!
Inland Imaging's team of more than 70 subspecialized radiologists is the largest group of its kind in our region. Every day, and for every patient, they leverage their expertise to deliver the detailed and potentially life-saving answers that patients and their physicians need to guide their care. So when you need medical imaging, choose the Inland Imaging Advantage for answers you can trust and care you can count on.
Don't freak out, but I washed your lucky shirt.
Washed it? I've won 3 Northern Quest jackpots in the last 2 months with that shirt.
Yeah, getting a little ripe.
Ripe with victory. Did you at least use the Gentle Cycle? Fine washables or whatever?
No, I just threw it in the machine with some underpants.
Whoa.
Serious about gaming? Northern Quest pays out more than 80 jackpots per day. Visit northernquest.com for details.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Eagles take on Northern Arizona Saturday. Our pregame show starts at noon. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. And then next Monday, we'll be back here at M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino. We'll talk about it. Coach Best will have film at 5:30, and our player interviews and the radio program will begin at 6. Sophomore defensive end Mitchell Johnson joins us here. You were an All-Big Sky Conference selection as a freshman last year. People know about you this year. Have you found that you're getting blocked differently this year than maybe you were last year?
I would say I'm maybe more of a threat going into the game, maybe more, but I feel like at the end of the day, whether they try to scheme more around it, I just got to do my job and get off blocks, make tackles, and make plays for the defense, which I feel like the last couple games I've done a way better job than the beginning of the season.
Did you have any expectations when you joined the program, as in, okay, first year I want to do this, second year I want to do that, or have you just kind of been taking it by year as you come into the program?
Honestly, I mean, when I first came here, like, I hadn't played a lot of football. I mean, I grew up playing, my dad coached me, but I hadn't really been a pivotal role in my high school until midway through my junior and senior year. So I just felt like this is another chance for me just to continue getting better at my game. And like, I didn't have a lot of experience, so coaches helped with that a lot. And I was just trying to adapt to any situation that I was put into.
Did you play other sports in high school?
Yeah, I played lacrosse.
Lacrosse. Mm-hmm. That's a different one. Are there skill sets that you use in lacrosse that's helpful for football?
See, with lacrosse, there's a lot of smaller guys. So being my size in high school, I basically just played football out there. I would just get the ball, try to run people over, and get as close as I could to the goal before I shot it. So,
did you get to hit dudes with a stick?
Yeah, I broke a few different sticks throughout every season.
Oh, man.
I mean, the average guy I felt like I went against was like 5'8", 175. I mean, I had 5 inches and almost 50 pounds on him every time. So
I thought you and Jim Townsend did a nice job in this game of setting the edge. You know, and you guys were getting, you know, sometimes double teamed. You had tight ends coming after you, tackles and guards pulling on you. But I thought you guys really did a nice job of controlling that. It seemed like I thought the Eagles had a good scheme against Montana and then just kind of got out of it a little bit from the standpoint that they went to their heavy set early. Then they went to their light set because they were chasing after you guys because they were behind. Then they went back to that 3-by-1 with the tight ends in the back and kind of pounded you. What did you think about that?
Well, I thought definitely that the first half, you look at their 13 personnel set, I think me and Jimmy did a great job of, you know, almost eating up 2 blocks and kind of freeing up a lot of linebackers. And watching the film, I think we did a good job of getting off blocks quick, rallying to the ball. And they also did a lot of things that we hadn't seen on film in the past. Like, they've never really been a stretch heavy team, and you saw a lot of stretch RPOs that you wouldn't see on any other film. So I think they kept a lot of things on offense waiting to show it for this game because, you know, I feel like every time we play every team, we're going to get their best ball and get a few tricks up their sleeves.
Well, you guys were in the national championship game last year,
yeah.
So that's going to raise a lot of hackles and flags as well and really kind of, you know, set Eastern apart. Coming back, you've been very good at home, been very tough on the road. I know that's frustrating. For you, you haven't lost a lot of football games in your career. How does that translate when you do lose?
Yeah, I mean, I think growing up just winning a lot, it definitely just kind of gets this feeling like where you're just used to winning. And, you know, when you lose, it's not necessarily – it's just a completely different feeling. And you're thinking, oh, like, I came here to win. But when you don't win, like, what kind of player are you? What kind of team are you going to be? You know, we're 3-5 now. Like, are we going to crawl up and just call it? Or are we going to keep fighting and we're going to keep trying to go on another run here and continue to try to fight?
The tradition of Eastern, especially in November, has been very good. You don't lose.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's something that I could see. You guys still, there's four games left. A lot of football left to be played here. Two of those games still on the red, you know, in the Inferno, and then two on the road. There's not easy places to go to, but you still can kind of control your own destiny.
Yeah, I mean, we have a chance to win the next four games. I mean, I think we've had a chance to win every game we've played this year. You know, you look at Idaho, if we played the second half how we played in the first half, we would have won. You know, and like Sac State, we had glimpses of being a really good team and glimpses of not being a great team. And, you know, great Montana was another situation where we played really good on defense in the first half. You know, we did pretty well on offense. We did enough to have a 14-10 lead, and then unfortunately we gave it away. But we're a team that just needs to put a full game together, and I think that's what we're going to work on.
You've had a lot of success as a freshman and as a sophomore in terms of playing a lot of football and being honored and having some really nice things come your way early. Do you feel like you're starting to take on some more leadership positions on the defensive side? Do you feel like you're one of those leaders out there?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, with how much young guys are playing right now. Like, I was a young guy last year who my first game I played 20 snaps. My second game I played 80. And, like, that was a huge jump for me, but I adapted to it, and so I'm trying to give, you know, positive feedback to guys who are having to step up into bigger roles that they may have not had. Like, at the end of the day, it's football. Like, play football and, like, listen to your coaches and do your job, and, like, it doesn't matter if you're a freshman or a senior. We expect, you know, to everybody make plays when they are called on it.
That leadership position, though, you've got seniors, you've got juniors that are ahead of you, so vocally, is it hard to step up and be that guy that challenges teammates when you're a sophomore and you have older guys?
No, I don't think that's hard at all. I think we're a team who, if you're called out by anybody, there's for a reason. You know, you're not going to be called out because, you know, people are just calling people out. Like, people are telling you to do better at this, do better at that, or they're trying to lead you in a way because they know. Like, they have experience. You know, you guys got guys like Dylan Ledbetter who, he calls me out when he sees something that I'm not doing right. And, like, I'm not going to say, oh, why are you saying that? I'm going to say, yep, you're right. Like, you've played a lot of ball. You know what you're talking about. Like, I got you.
How important is it to go out on a good note and try to win these last four games, starting with this first game, for these seniors in this program?
Yeah, it's I just want to win. Just, I mean, not just for myself, but, you know, for those seniors. You know, this is our last ride with a lot of guys that I've been with for 3 years that I've built really strong relationships with, and I would hate to, you know, go out with them just, you know, with their heads down. So we're going to keep fighting to get every game for them. So,
what do you like to do away from football?
Well, I think a lot of people on the team know this. I love Eastern Washington. I love the side of the state. So I do a lot of fishing. We go hunting. We go snowboarding every winter. Try to go to all the mountains around here. Like to work out with really competitive roommates that all push each other to go work out more. So we work out, watch film, do all that.
So who are the roommates?
Dylan Ingram, 86, plays tight end. Gunnar Talkington, the quarterback, and then Caleb Davis, 99.
So you've got an even split, offense, defense, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So nobody wins. You know, it's always a tie vote or something, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, no, we compete in everything. So, unfortunately.
What are you studying, and what do you want to do with life after football?
I'm doing business management right now. I kind of want to just do something where I can have flexible hours. You know, I have where I can stay active. I don't want a desk job. You know, I want to go out and I like to talk to people. So something in sales, maybe, just something in the business realm.
Mitchell, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in. Best of luck to you the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thanks,
that's Mitchell Johnson, Eastern's sophomore defensive end. We'll be back, wrap things up here from M&D at Northern Quest Resort and Casino after this timeout on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Have you tried everything to lose weight? Do you have multiple health issues related to your weight, such as high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, or a body mass index over 35? If you answered yes to any of these questions, MultiCare Rockwood Clinic's Weight Loss Surgery Center may be the answer for you. Call 509-755-5120. The results you want, the support you need. MultiCare, here for you.
Washington Trust Bank asks, what's your awesome?
What's my awesome? Well, this week I started training for a mini triathlon in Hawaii. Awesome! I did a food truck crawl and saw a crazy good bluegrass band. Oh, and I got engaged. Probably should have started with that. Love you, sweetie. That's gonna cost me.
Everyone has an awesome, and whatever yours is, Washington Trust Bank can help you get there. Stop by and see a personal banker today. Learn more at watrust.com/awesome. Washington Trust Bank, member FDIC.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Hundo P. Hundo P. Adjective. Short for being 100% sure or certain. As in, if we get a puppy, I'll Hundo P. always walk it.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
If a buried natural gas pipeline is leaking outside your home, you may see dead vegetation, hear a hissing noise, or smell it. Because Avista adds a rotten egg scent that's easily detectable. If so, get far away and call 911 and Avista. And if you ever smell a natural gas leak indoors, get everyone outside fast. Don't flip light switches, use a cell phone, or do anything to cause a spark. Go somewhere safe, like a neighbor's house, then call 911 and Avista. We just want you to be safe.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
We are motivated. We are dedicated. We are stepping up. We have passion flowing through our veins. We are vital. Inland Northwest Blood Center has joined forces with 127 donation centers across the nation to form Vitalant. By joining forces, we can help more people realize their life-saving potential and make every drop of blood count more. Learn why your donation is so vital at Vitalant.org.
All right, coming up here in just a few minutes, it'll be our first Eagle Basketball Coaches Show of the year with head coach Shante Leggins from the Eagle men's team, head coach Wendy Schuler from the Eagle women's team. We'll hear from Kim Aiken and Jacob Davison from the Eastern men's team and sophomore center Bella Cravens from the Eagle women's team. That's coming up as soon as we are done with the Eagle Football Coaches Show right here. That show already recorded. You'll be able to hear that immediately following the end of this broadcast. The Eagle men will open their season a week from tomorrow against Portland Bible College on Reese Court. Game time 6 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 5:30 with that one. The women will open at Stanford. And the only other game in November for the Eagle basketball teams at home will be the Eagle men against Belmont, who won a game last year in the NCAA tournament. That'll be on Tuesday, November 26th. But December, the Eagle women will have three home games, and the Eagle men will have three home games. So that's when things really start picking up on the home schedule for the Eagle men's and women's teams. And actually, the Eagle women will have five home games because they'll open Big Sky Conference play at home against Weber State December 28th and Idaho State on December 30th. So we invite you to stay tuned. Eagle women's basketball coaches show is coming up in just a little bit. Big games in the Big Sky Conference this week. Two of the top teams in the country and the only two undefeated teams in the Big Sky will do battle on Saturday in Sacramento, Weber State at Sacramento State, and that game starts at 6 o'clock Pacific time. For that, Weber State ranked third in the nation, Sac State ranked sixth in the nation. Going into play this weekend, Montana ranked eighth will come off their win over Eastern Washington. They travel to Portland State to take on the Vikings on Saturday in what could be an interesting game as well. Because I think Montana hosts Weber State the week after. So that could be a little bit of a trap game maybe for the Grizzlies in Portland on Saturday. The Eastern Washington Eagles, they'll be in action on Saturday as they host Northern Arizona on Ruse Field on the Inferno. Tickets are available for this game now. You can go online to GoEags.com. Get more information on ticket availability for this game. We hope to see you at Bruce Field. If you can't make it, we'll have the pregame show starting at noon with the game beginning at 1 o'clock. And back here again next Monday at M&D at Northern Quest and Resort and Casino. We'll talk about it. Coach Best will have film starting at 5:30 as always, and then the radio program beginning at 6 right here at M&D. We will be here for at least the next three Mondays. The next Basketball Coaches Show will happen from Boston on the, I think it's 19th or 20th of November, one of those dates prior to Eastern playing Boston College on the road. So we want to thank our guests that we had here today, Andrew Boston, sophomore wide receiver, sophomore defensive end Mitchell Johnson here as well, and head coach Aaron Best on hand. And we'll hear from Coach Best again in the pregame show on Saturday, and he'll be back here again at M&D with two more player guests after the Northern Arizona game coming up a week from today. All right, stand by. Eagle Basketball Coaches Show is coming up. Thanks to Steve Pry for his work in the studios, as always. For Paul Sorensen, I'm Larry Ware. You've been listening to the Eastern Football Coaches Show on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
On the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College, you've been listening to the EWU Football Coaches Show, powered by Gee Automotive. Also brought to you by Numerica Credit Union, Life Moves, Live Well, MultiCare Health System, Northern Quest Resort and Casino, the place where Eagles fans love to stay and play, and by Pepsi, the official soft drink of Eastern Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Eagles Sports Network.